Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We welcome you to the airwaves of Radio Islam International. Alhamdulillah, we are having this very important, this very interesting discussion. We are taking a look at the dressing. We have taken a look on the dressing, general dressing of Muslims, and we then went on to the discussion of the dressing of a female. Now we are continuing with this discussion, and our guest on the program is Maulana Ahmed Akhu. We would like to welcome him back onto the program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Once again, Malana, jazakallah for your time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you.
Ameen, ameen.
Manana, as we have been discussing in the previous hour, we discussed the general dressing of the Muslims, and then discussing the female's dressing in more particular. And Manana has brought about some very interesting points, some points that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us, grant the women especially tawfiq that they can practice on. Manana also spoke on the hadith and how the hadith of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam has highlighted the severity of this issue and how women should be dressing. Now, one aspect, you know, with regards to speaking on the digressing of women, the dressing of women, we find that sometimes we get certain women that, you know, they dress what is called in society, they dress properly. Sometimes a woman might even be wearing the niqab, be in hijab, etc. But then on the other hand, we find that they wear such cloaks that, you know, it shows the entire shape of the bodies. Now, would this be regarded as defeating the purpose?
Yes, unfortunately, this is a trend that we find very prevalent. Let's go back to the verse of the Quran that we highlighted earlier, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about clothing. Verse number 26 of Surah Al-A'raf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, Ya Bani Adam, قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسَ يُوَارِي سَوْآتِكُمْ وَرِيشَ. Allah says that He has sent down clothing upon you to cover your body. Now, irrespective of the type of dressing that a person dons, it has to fulfill certain objectives, and the objective of clothing is to cover the body in such a manner in which the shape and contours of the body are not something which is visible to the naked eye of the onlooker. Let's keep that in mind. That is the object of your clothing. That is what the clothing is supposed to do, the purpose of clothing. The covering needs to be in such a manner that the shape and contours of the body is not something that is visible to the onlooker. Now, if you take the so-called Islamic type of dressing in terms of the word coined of abayas, where it started off, and unfortunately where it has reached, I repeated this quite often so far in the program, there's so many tricks and there's so many methods and there's so many ways that Shaitan uses to mislead the ummah and to take them away from where they're supposed to be as believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, among the many niches or many loopholes or many corners that Shaitan has found to enter, he's entered via the so-called Islamic code or mode of dressing of the females. So where the abaya originally started off as a loose piece of clothing that is worn for a woman and it's considered as her being clothed properly, to where it has come today in terms of the fashion trends of the world and the fashion houses, mashallah, now everybody is a designer when it comes to this aspect, it's totally defeating the purpose. Because again, if the shape of the body is showing and if the clothes, that the contours of the body are exposed, then this is becomes un-Islamic. So we're making Islamic dressing now become un-Islamic, but we still think that we're doing something which is Islamic. Look at how Shaitan has fooled us and how he has, you know, pulled the wool over our eyes. So again, a woman, as I mentioned earlier, the different levels of taqwa that we find prevalent in the ummah, so a woman would be wearing the modern day abaya, which is tight fitting and revealing the shape and contours of the body, and then she might look at another woman that's not wearing an abaya, but perhaps maybe we'll say Western type of clothing that could also be loose fitting. That means the shape of that woman's body is not as exposed as the one who's wearing the abaya, but the one wearing the abaya thinks that, mashallah, I'm on a very good level of taqwa, mashallah, I'm more pious than that woman. Look at my clothing, look at her clothing. But have we really looked at our clothing? So, you know, these are important things that we really need to focus on. And this degeneration that we find in prevalent as time is going by is absolutely scary. It's absolutely scary. You know, when I studied this topic more to discuss it on the Juma platform, so I did various research in terms of dressing of women of the past and dressing of the woman in terms of how the world views it. You know, it's something shocking. In the country that we live in, we live in South Africa, in the year 1930, around the 1920s or 1930s, it was against the law of the country for a woman to walk on the street dressed in a manner wherein her knees were exposed. So even if she had to wear a skirt, if it was above the knee, it was against the law. It needed to be below her knee. That was in the 1930s, the Western world. That is the laws they had. And look how time has flown by and how we've degenerated and how we've gone back and how we've regressed to where we are today in the world. But even the conservative ones among the Western world or in the world and even people of other faiths, this has like become a global concern, the degeneration in the dressing of women. In fact, they go to the extent, you know, it's a quotation that I found on the internet. They say that the modern day dressing of a woman is likened, unfortunately, to the fencing of a zoo. And then they even explain and they say that it covers the perimeter, but it doesn't obscure the view. And this is not said in a praiseworthy manner, but rather it's said in a manner to reflect upon. So it covers the perimeter, but it doesn't obscure the view. I mean, take the abaya that we're talking about. Now they got the modern day abaya. It's called the open abaya. What's the point of the open abaya? Mm. Then they even market it. It's the see-through abaya. What's the point? It's supposed to be covering. Now you're making it see-through, but then it's different levels of taqwa. Now I think it's also important that we highlight the fact there are many young Muslimas out there and many young sisters out there that are trying their best to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I mentioned, we're trying our level best to swim against the tide. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the sincerity of our intention and Allah knows our enthusiasm. So maybe we have a sister out there that wants to move against the trend of the Western culture, the Western mode of dressing, and we're trying to find our footing and we're trying to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So because our vision is correct 100%, that is wonderful, that is amazing. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take them from strength to strength and guide them further and draw them closer to Him. But in that process and in that journey of you trying to take those steps forward to being more conservative, to becoming more Islamic, especially in the way we dress. Now, when we are adopting these trends of the modern abaya, the open abaya, the see-through abaya, Allah knows that we have a noble goal and a noble vision. We're not running anybody down. We're not trying to discourage anybody. And we're not pointing fingers at anybody. As I mentioned earlier, and I'm going to mention it again, Allah definitely knows how sincere we are. Allah knows our enthusiasm. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's in our hearts better than anybody. So we're not discouraging or discount or wiping out anybody's effort. Allah knows what's your effort. Allah knows what is your challenge. Allah knows how hard it is for you to go against that which you're going against, and it's very, very challenging in the times that we're living in. Definitely Allah knows that, and Allah is well aware of how much effort we're putting in. But always remember one thing, strive for the best results and strive to get better and always keep the goal open to always better yourself. Don't stop where you are. So if a person, for example, was not wearing what we would call as the abaya, and now you start adorning that abaya, and maybe we're getting carried away because we're always, you know, attempting to beautify ourselves more and more, and we want to keep up with the fashion as well. We don't want to feel like we've totally fallen out of it. Even if you want to stay in that, you want to move forward, you want to look beautiful, make sure it's in the best possible manner. And make sure you're moving forward all the time. You're taking small milestones. Inshallah, one day we'll get there. So if you're stuck where you are now, move forward, inshallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will appreciate the effort. And make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take us further, inshallah.
Well, another topic to probably look at when it comes to the dressing of women, you know, one complaint that you get from the woman is they often say that, you know, it's not a decision, it's a very important decision that I make, especially, you know, when it comes to, as Mulana said, wearing the abaya, wearing the niqab, etc. And women often say that, you know, it's a very important decision that I need to make in my life, and it takes time, I don't want to just rush into it. So would Mulana say that it's a gradual process for a lady to reach the stage, you know, when she has the capacity to wear the niqab?
Definitely. The process is there, and it's not something that is impossible. Any person, mashallah, every woman out there has the capacity to reach that stage one day. For some, it's a quick process. For others, it's a gradual process, and it's a long process. But it's a journey that every single person can start, and every Muslimah can start, as long as we start somewhere. And also, it's important for us to take note of, when you start something, if you fall down, it's not the end of the world. As long as you pick yourself up and move forward and continue striving and continue trying to get better and trying to move forward, that is most important. And the gradual process is something that all Muslimas out there, young and old, everybody out there, sometimes I think it's important that we mention young and old, because there's no such thing as the old concept anymore in the world. Yeah. Because we're living in such a time now, it's difficult to differentiate between mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, mother and daughter. Everybody's looking the same, everybody wants to look the same, especially with the as we mentioned, the fashion houses of the world. I mean, now, you know, with the makeup artists, I don't think ever in the history of humanity the makeup industry was at its peak as it is right now, even in the Muslim Ummah. So everybody wants to beautify themselves. Nobody wants to get old, and nobody wants to look old. So mashallah, even the mother that's in her 40s and her 50s, she still wants to dress and look like she's 20. Nothing wrong with that if you're doing it, mashallah, for your husband, most important. If you want to be young in his eyes, you'll always be his darling, and you'll always be young, inshallah. But when it comes to this gradual process, it's not something that's confined only to the young girls of the Ummah, but even the elderly as well. It's a process and a journey that we all can undertake. So the simple steps, if our hair perhaps is uncovered, we take the first step forward to, inshallah, try and cover our hair. And look at the month of Ramadan that just passed by us. You know, there's a post that generally does its rounds just before the month of Ramadan, that now the season is coming, and it goes as follows, that Barbies turn into hijabis and Playboys turn into Playboys. So some people found that to be a bit negative, and they have a few comments to pass with regards to that. But I say that is something that we shouldn't look at so negatively, because yes, the month of Ramadan comes with that sort of goodness, where people that are not active suddenly become active. So we did it for that month of Ramadan. Make the part that you can, since you have the capacity to do it for that 1 month, definitely you have the potential and the capacity to continue doing that throughout your life. So the first process would be that if we're not covering our hair, we make an intention, a firm intention, that inshallah we're going to do this for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is how, this is the teachings of Islam. That's where you start. And when you've started and mashallah you're going well, your hair is covered, don't get stuck there. You see, that's the problem. We make a little bit of progress and we feel like we've done so much. You know, the startling difference between us and between the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the world of difference between us and them was, they did so much in terms of exerting themselves to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to earn the highest of stages in Jannah, and they never felt complacent. They never ever reached a stage where they felt, no, we've done enough. They were given the glad tidings of Jannah in this world. That still never stopped them or make them slow down in terms of exerting themselves further and further in earning the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we, on the other hand, we do a little bit and we think, mashallah, we've done so much. We automatically become complacent. All month I sacrifice, mashallah, Ramadan, I did my best, I gave my 7 days, now 11 months I can relax. No, we can never slow down, we should never stop, and we should never stagnate as an ummah. So if you started the process of covering your hair, then don't stop there. Go forward, inshallah. Try and become more modest in your entire dressing. Try and ensure that my clothing covers my body properly for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then slowly, slowly, you will get to that process. And by virtue of us also begging Allah, dua is the most important thing. We can do nothing on our own. We are absolutely weak. Two things we need to always keep in mind. Dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the strength, and dua for istiqamah, for us to be steadfast. Because we can start something now and we might fall down tomorrow. So we need to be steadfast, and we need to make dua that Allah grant us the strength to take us forward. We want the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we want Allah to be pleased with us. So we need to beg Allah out of His mercy to give us the strength to carry it out. And we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us steadfast. And among what I've seen so far unfold in the world, it's not that I'm very old, I'm quite young, alhamdulillah, we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless each and every one of us in our lives in this world. But anyway, the trends that we see prevalent is, sometimes the person starts, so we start covering our hair, and then maybe 2 years later or 6 months later, suddenly there's a heavy wind out there, you know, it's the weather is quite unpredictable, so that scarf blows off. If it blows off, Don't feel that you're doomed. You're never going to be able to do it again. Mm. Stand up and move forward again. So even if you wore a scarf for 6 months and it flew off for another 3 months, start again. As long as you keep making effort, that's all we need to do. Keep making the effort. Allah will open the door. And Allah will bring us to such a stage of istiqamah and steadfastness that we ourselves will be surprised where we've reached. Only by the mercy of Allah, not by our doing. Similarly, when it comes to the niqab, try it out. Just take it, do it as a test. Let me see if I can manage. Try it for 1 day, try it for 2 days. Believe me, I can tell you from now, the first 2 days that you try it out, shaitan will be finishing you. You'll be claustrophobic, you can't breathe, you're boiling, you feel like something's happening to you, you're getting gabarat, as they say. All that is gonna happen. And that is among the tricks of shaitan, but that shouldn't deter you. So if you try it and you gave it a run for 1 week, then again, don't let that guilty conscience only finish you. Oh, now if I take it out, what people are gonna say? Don't worry about what people say. So if you have a moment of weakness, you have a few weeks of weakness, on and off, you know, you get convertible cars as well. Sometimes the roof is down, sometimes the roof is up. It happens like that. It's automatic. So even if it falls off, bring it back on. If it falls off, bring it back on. You will definitely reach a stage where Allah will make it such that you keep it back on and it's never taken away. Look at the challenges that have come on different parts of the world. We're living in a place where a person won't, well, it's very far away the concept of us veiling ourselves is, yet we're free to do so. And there's other places in the world where women are desperate to do so and they've been stripped of their haya and their modesty. Look at that situation. We have the free will to do it. Nobody is going to point a finger at you. Nobody's going to look at you funny, whatever it is. People will respect you much more than you could ever imagine. But we're free to do it, we're not doing it. How many Muslims out there are desperate to do it and they've been robbed and stripped of it? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide and protect us.
I mean, as Malana said, you know, we should try and hasten to do good, whatever we can, as much as we can, we should try and do. It shouldn't happen, as Malana gave the comparisons of other countries and other places where people want to do good and they can't do it. Alhamdulillah, yeah, for us in South Africa, things are open and a woman is allowed to dress, cover herself fully. It shouldn't happen that, you know, the time comes when it becomes difficult, these laws come into place where you cannot dress properly, then you want to do it and you are unable to do it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Now there are still two more aspects that we're going to take a look at when it comes to the dressing of women. In the first aspect, we're going to try and cover the question that we have in mind, as well as I see a question has come through from a listener. So we're going to try and couple these two questions into one. So the one aspect is that there's now a trend that has come. Probably it has come from, you know, many people say it comes from these Arab countries. Wherever it comes from, it's not important. The trend that has come in is that we find women where they make these huge buns of hair, the way they fold up their hair, roll up their hair under the scarf. So is this prohibited in the Sharia, in the teachings of Islam? And then secondly, this question comes through from one of the listeners, that Salam Malana, is there anything wrong with a woman wearing bright colored scarves, red, yellow, etc.? If Malana could go through that with us.
Okay, when it comes to the hump, mashallah, as I said, you know, the tricks of shaitan is sometimes very difficult to count. It's like, you know, it's like a silent war that's continuous and we've been bombarded at all times, but we always need to be on guard. That is why, how beautifully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly reminds us. There's so many verses in the Quran. You find the verse repeated throughout the Quran. Inna shaytana lil insani aduwwu mubin, aduwwu mubin. Oh insan, wake up, wake up, wake up. Shaytan is your open enemy. Allah in one place goes to the extent of saying, Inna shaytana lakum aduwwun fattakhidhuhu aduwwun. Allah said, listen, this is your enemy, be aware, take him as your enemy, don't befriend him. So among the many ways that he's tried to attack the Ummah from every place and every corner possible is now this camel hump. But first and foremost, let's go back to the hadith that we quoted a little earlier where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke regarding the dressing of women that will come in the Ummah, and unfortunately those women will be deprived of the fragrance of Jannah. In that description, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the hair on the top of their heads will be like a camel's hump. This is how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described these women. One is by they will be wearing clothing that will be such that they will be clothed yet they will be naked. The second description, the hair on their head will be like that of a camel's hump. Now we see the sudden trend that has come about in the Ummah. It's part of the hijabi trend. As I said, you know, it's different levels of taqwa. We are owning it with a sense of Islam as well, that, you know, we're covering our hair. But this form of beautification that has come about, unfortunately, is something that borders on this description of the Prophet Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very strongly. So these big, whatever it is, like flowers and brooches, whatever that is put on the back of the head, and the scarf is tied around it, is something that we definitely need to desist from. I know, Maulana, I don't know, you know, Radio Islam, mashallah, has such a wonderful listenership. I hope we're not spoiling anybody's business when it comes to that, because you know, Islamic dressing industry has become a phenomenal industry. There's a lot of money involved in the whole thing, so we're not in any way trying to hamper somebody else's business. And when it comes to that, remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Razaq, the one in charge of sustenance. And the same Allah that's providing for you by whatever means you've been provided with right now, Allah will take care of you throughout your whole life. Your sustenance has already been ordained, so in no way are we trying to mess up anybody's business. Some people might get upset there, but anyway, we got to say that which we need to say. So these humps put on the top of the head is something that definitely we need to desist from, because look at this description that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given. We need to be far away from that. If it's in the bottom of the head, then that would be something that is fine lower down, you know, where the old fashioned buns would be tied. Our mothers, our grandmothers all used to do that. That was right at the bottom of the head, that was fine. But this is big, huge things that come, I don't know for what reason. Again, let's ask the question, why are we doing it? Is it because now it's the trend of society and everybody thinks it looks nice? Who are we doing it for? What are we doing it for? Keep the most important object in mind. Right at the beginning of this program, we mentioned this and we repeat it again. Why do we dress the way we dress? Why are we wearing what we're wearing? If your object is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, definitely we're going to do many things differently. And if our objects are other things, then we're going to persist and we're going to be stuck where we are. Oh, with regards to the colors that you mentioned, Maulana, I just remembered now. Remember, the dressing of a woman in particular, supposed to be in such a manner, it's a simple usul or rule that we apply. The dressing of a woman is supposed to be such that it's not supposed to be unnecessarily attracting any attention of the onlooker. Yes, my sister, in your home, in the presence of your father, your mother, your brothers, your husband, especially for your husband, you can wear what you want, whatever color you want, the best of colors, the brightest of colors, whatever you want. For the beauty of the men around you, mashallah, that's wonderful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased. But anything that attracts unnecessary attention, any colors that are too loud and are there to attract attention, is something that we need to move away from, because the whole object of clothing, especially that of a woman when she emerges from a home, supposed to be that it's not supposed to be something that readily or immediately draws and attracts the attention of any onlooker. If we apply that rule, we'll get our answers automatically.
The final aspect that you want to take a look at when it comes particularly to female dressing, but this is not exactly just with females, this comes with regards to children, is that very often parents are, you know, at the crossroads when it comes to the dressing of children. And when we say they're at crossroads with regards to the aspect of at what age do we start dressing our children correctly, sometimes parents feel that, you know, they we want to get them dressing correctly from a young age, from when they are small, so that when they grow up with this correct habit of dressing in the proper way. Then some parents sometimes feel that, you know, if we don't give them the freedom now when they are small, then when they are big, they want to explore and they want to experiment, because they feel that I never ever had an opportunity to dress in this certain way. So back to the question, what is the correct age?
I think this is a very important question, but also a tough one indeed. And I think it's something where we tend to fail to a certain extent when it comes to our young children. First and foremost, let's understand one thing. The greatest privilege that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us as human beings is the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with our children, and Allah gives us an opportunity to rear the next generation. But have we ever pondered over these wonderful gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with? That child comes into your life as a privilege and a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but as a clean, complete, perfect book which has not been tainted in any way whatsoever. They come as a clean sheet, if we can put it that way. That is how children come into our life. They know absolutely nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. Allah is the one that took you out from the wombs of your mothers and you knew absolutely nothing. Those kids know nothing of the world. They know nothing of the fashion of the world. They know absolutely nothing. But how we rear and nurture them as children makes a world of difference to a great extent of how they're going to be as adults tomorrow. So when it comes to the dressing of children, sometimes we take it for granted and we say, no, the child is small. Remember, the child is going to grow, but if the child is wearing a skirt from the time they're small, the skirt is not going to grow as their bodies are growing. That might stay the same size. And it also tends to become confusing for children, because if they're allowed to wear whatever they want, whenever they want, when they're young, then how is it that they're going to be correctly guided when suddenly they become big and now they're told, no, no, you can't wear this and you can't wear that. But hold on, my whole life I was wearing that. Now suddenly I can't wear it. So if a child right up to from the age of, let's say, 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10, right up to the 12 and 13, they've been allowed to dress how they want, when they want. Now suddenly when they become mature, when they become responsible, now they've been told you can't do this and you need to do that. And they're like, how, but my whole life I dressed in a certain way. And why I said we fall in short when it comes to this important aspects, because from the little experience that we've had with dealing with the different sectors of the community, unfortunately, what we find prevalent nowadays is, for example, if a woman is dressing in a modest manner, and mashallah, the husband is dressing in a certain manner, which can be likened to the Islamic mode of dressing, then why is it that we dress our children differently? So the mother, mashallah, will be very modest in her dressing, but then she'll dress her daughter totally different. The mother herself perhaps might even be veiled, but she'll make sure she'll be beautifying her daughter and putting makeup on her daughter. But hold on, sister, how does it work? Why is there different rules? You know what you've chosen for yourself. Unfortunately, you know, the ulama go to the extent of saying, especially our mashayikh, what is lurking within our hearts, we make manifest on our children. That's something that we need to ponder over. So what lurks in the bottom of our hearts and what we are likened to and what we're drawn close to, we make that manifest in our children. And that's something that's extremely unfair, because we are answerable for our actions and they are answerable for their actions. You can't take what is lurking within your heart and now pour it out onto your child and let them bear the brunt of their actions. That is absolutely unfair and unjust, especially given the fact that our children are our life, our most priceless possession, and we love them to bits, and they mean the world to us. That is something that's rather unfair, if that is the situation. But it starts from the time they're young. If the concept of modesty is instilled in our children, now we're not saying now, you know, they're supposed to be put into parda from the time they're 6 years old. Obviously, we've got to be practical as well. They're young, they're not answerable. They're young children, they also need to enjoy life, whatever it is. But the concept of modesty, if it's instilled within them from a young age, if that girl from the time she's young needs to be taught that my beloved daughter, this is the way a Muslimah always supposed to be. Yes, you can still play your sport, you can do what you want in certain times, that's fine. But when you leave the home, this is how a Muslimah always supposed to be. Our hair always supposed to be covered. Our clothing always supposed to be loose fitting. Yes, children are running around, they get messed, etc. You can't be expecting them to wear a certain type of dressing all the time. They're young, they're children, they're energetic, they're full of life. Whatever the clothing is, the concept of clothing must not be lost, because as I mentioned earlier, it's not necessary that it's only the concept of Islamic dressing that we've been accustomed to is the only thing that's acceptable, because a person can be wearing two pieces of clothing which are not actually likened to our understanding of the Islamic code of dressing, but it can be more fulfilling the obligations of what clothing is supposed to fulfill as opposed to our understanding of the Islamic concept of clothing. I don't want to go through that whole discussion again, we've already passed that. But the children need to be wear loose fitting clothing and be taught the concept. This is how a Muslim always supposed to be dressed. From the time they're young, inshallah, if it's instilled in their hearts when they're young, they will carry it through when they get big. Because again, when it comes to children, the reality of the world that we're living in is, it's absolutely unpredictable what their futures are going to be. Today they can be dressing in a certain way, tomorrow it can turn the other way. Nothing is in our control. Everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But more important than the physical effort, especially as parents, is we need to also make the spiritual effort, and that is a lot and a lot of dua. There's no shortage of how much of dua we desperately need to make for our children, that Allah guide them and Allah protect them, especially in these times of fitna, immodesty and immorality to be exposed to.
JazakAllah, Manana, we now conclude with the discussion on females dressing. Just a few minutes, we'll ask for Manana's time with regards to males dressing. If Manana could give us some of the basic guidelines when it comes to males dressing. I know when it comes, as I said, male dressing, one of the issues is that, you know, with males dressing is the sitr is from the navel till the knee. Men very often get confused, you know, is the navel included or excluded? The knee, is it included, excluded? It's sometimes you see males, especially in the summer months, wearing the three-quarter what depends, and then sometimes when they're performing salah, it raises up, the knee becomes exposed. So if Malana could give some of the basic guidelines with regards to male dressing.
This is also something important, but when it comes to the guidelines of males dressing, then like how there are guidelines for women in the terms of their dressing and what their clothing needs to fulfill, the obligations of the clothing, what is the object of the clothing, what it needs to fulfill. Similarly, there are also guidelines. It's not that men are let off the hook completely to wear what they want when they want. Yes, the satr, a man needs to be covered from the navel to the knee. Now, do we really need to become so technical to bring in this discussion that is the knee included, the knee not included, cover the whole thing. I mean, what's the big deal? It's not the end of the world. You'd rather be safe. You'd rather be safe than sorry. Why do we always want to be on the borderline and find out? No, we need to know exactly what it is. So from the navel to the knee, but it's not confined to the navel to the knee, because if that is your satr, navel to the knee, then on your wedding day, that's all you need to cover, but you'll never enter the hall in that manner as a maid. You want to cover your whole body. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the object of clothing is to cover your body, similarly for males as well, we also need to adorn that type of clothing that is also not extremely tight-fitting and shows the entire shape of our body. It's similar rules for both, for male and for female. Yes, when it comes to the females, there's a lot more stringency when it comes to their rulings with regards to their clothing, but for the males as well, and I think it's very, very important that we address this topic of men's dressing, because the world that we're living in has become so, so confusing that sometimes when you walk into a department store or these chain stores, you wonder sometimes, are you in the men's section looking at clothing or are you in the female section? That's the type of clothing now. The world has become absolutely crazy, so it's very important that we're touching on this.
Jim Malana, you know, as Malana has just raised the point now when you concluded on answering that question, we do witness that it's becoming very common for men to wear what is very often regarded as female colors, you know, lady colors like pink, etc. What would Malana's view on this be?
That looks cool. Pink is now the new in thing. I mean, we all know we come in from a time where a certain color denoted masculinity and a certain color denoted femininity. Everybody knows that. From the time we were young children, from the time we entered school, this color was denoted for males, this color was denoted for females. When the child was being born, or you know, the subtle message would be, if they're buying pink clothes, you know it's a girl baby. Mm-hmm. If they're buying blue clothes, you know it's a boy baby coming. Nowadays, you'll be scratching your head because you might be utterly confused. Because if they're buying pink, it's not necessary that it's a girl boy baby coming. You'll be confused. Mm-hmm. And if they're buying blue, it's not necessary that it's a girl baby anymore. That's, the world has really turned literally upside down. So if now, again, this is not now about what is found in the hadith and all that. This is very simple. Again, we apply a simple rule. If wherever we are, the color is denoted for females, then let it be for females. Why do we males want to jump in that? There's so many colors. Alwanikum, the different colors that Allah has created, is among the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the different colors of the rainbow. There's so many colors out there. Why do we have to make sure we go into that which is not ideal for us to be going towards? I mean, the color pink, for example, has always been something which is connected to femininity. It's been towards females. Now, mashallah, we want to wear pink shirt, pink pants, pink whatever it is. It's the only reason why we go into that field is because that's what the fashion houses have now dictated to us. We are ibadur rahman, the slaves of Rahman, the slaves of Allah. We are not the slaves of the fashion houses of the world. You know, it's so sad, Morana. How many years? Let's go back. You know, we're talking about practical. Let's go back 15, 20 years. The cry of the ulama, the cry of the ummah to all the males was, ensure that your pants is above your ankle. Your ankle should not be covered. This was the cry of our ulama for how many years, and how difficult it was for us to come close to achieving this aspect of deen, that a male's pants be above their ankles. So difficult it was. But mashallah, when the fashion houses came out with now the, what they call it, the jogger, it's closed above your ankle, same time, mashallah, it's on all our youngsters' legs. Now there's no issue. You notice before when a person has entered the masjid, they have to fold their pants above the ankle. Now the youngster don't need to fold his pants, it's automatically above his ankle. But he's not doing it ideally because it's the sunnah. Mashallah, at least they're doing it. We make shukr, alhamdulillah. It's being done. But again, what is the intention? You're not doing it because this was the sunnah of your beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You're doing it now because this is a jogger. This is the in thing right now. No socks and my jogger needs to be there. That's the in thing. So we need to stop becoming the slaves of fashion. I said this almost 10 years ago when I prepared this Jummah talk, that the aim and object of the Western world when it comes to dressing of male and female is to feminize the dressing of men. Listen to this carefully. The aim and object of the Western world and all the fashion houses of the world is to feminize the dressing of men and minimize the dressing of women. So once upon a time, women wore tight-fitting clothing, men wore loose clothing. Look at the world that we're living in now. The men are wearing tight-fitting clothing, and the women are wearing next to nothing. That's exactly how it's going gradually. Skinny jeans for a man. Man is wearing tights and walking in the masjid. We're going into sajda, what's happening? Everything must be tight-fitting, tight-fitting. We wonder sometimes how the youngsters actually manage to breathe in there. You know, it looks so tight and so constrained. We need to loosen up a little. Remember, why are we dressing? Why are we wearing what we're wearing? It must be for the pleasure of Allah.
Malana, finally, we would like to take a look at another, you know, the final aspect when it comes to males and the dressing is with regards to the hairstyles of males. And nowadays, there are many hairstyles that have become very common, you know, hairstyles like the mohawks, comb-overs, two-lens hair, if Malana could comment on that.
Again, let's ask the question, why do they don these type of hairstyles? Who are our role models? Who are we looking up to in the world? Who do we want to look like? Who do we want to be like? You know, at the beginning of the year, when schools were starting and the focus was on the importance of the maktab, so while delivering one of my talks with regards to conscientizing the ummah of the importance of the maktab, I made the statement, I said that it's amazing the world that we're living in. We want to look like certain people in the world. We want to be like celebrities in this world. We want to dress like the stars of the world. But we want to stand on the plains of resurrection with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How far-fetched is that cry? That we want to look like the stars of the world. We want to dress like them. We want to act like them. We want to dance like them. We want to indulge in the world like them. But we want to stand on the plains of resurrection with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. It's a very far-fetched wish. It's not that it's impossible. Also, Allah's mercy is always there. But it's something that's very, very far-fetched. So all these hairstyles that we've seen prevalent, why are we doing that? Who we want to look like? Who do we want to impress? Is it something that's pleasing to Allah? Again, ask yourself the question. When you're in that barber chair and they've shaved your hair in a certain way that you actually, to certain people, might be looking a bit scary, but you think you're looking good, ask yourself, if my beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to look at me right now, would he be pleased with what he sees? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has even prohibited for a person to shave a part of their hair and leave the rest. It's either you cut all or you leave all. Bald also is also a fashion, also you can keep all like that. If you're really a slave of fashion, you'll understand that even for you to be completely bald, unfortunately, has also become a fashion statement. Some are bald by choice, some are bald because, mashallah, they're quite experienced in the world and they work very hard. But the point is, why are we donning those type of hairstyles? It has been prohibited specifically by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we need to ensure that we adhere to the teachings of Islam, come back to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You think you're looking smart now, come to the sunnah, you look much more smarter than you could have ever imagined. And the other misconception we have is, we think we're looking smart in the world, but how smart are we in the year after? And how beautiful are we looking before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's most important. Everybody wants to be a star of the world that we're living in right now. That's why all this social media platforms, we need so many followers, we need so many likes, we need so many comments, we want the whole world to see us. Everybody's aiming to be a star in the world. I think it's high time that we aim to be stars in the year after. That's most important.
JazakAllah, Malana. We would like to thank you for your time, and maybe if Malana has any concluding remarks.
We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire and bless each and every one of us towards the wonderful, beautiful teachings of our deen. And when it comes to this aspect of dressing, we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens our hearts and open our minds to that which is true and that which is best. Among the du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqa warzuqna tiba'a. Oh Allah, show us good as good. Show us that which is correct as being correct. But not only we must acknowledge that it's right. وَرْزُقْنَا اتِّبَاعَ. Oh Allah, grant us the ability to follow that which is correct. So if we've acknowledged perhaps during the course of this program that the fashion trends that we've been accustomed to and the type of dressing that we don in is not the correct, we acknowledged it, but don't stop there. وَرْزُقْنَا اتِّبَاعَ. Oh Allah, grant us the ability to follow that which is correct. وَأَرِنَا الْبَاطِلَ بَاطِلَ. Oh Allah, show us falsehood and that which is wrong as wrong. We must know it's wrong, because it really becomes a challenging situation when we indulge in something that which is wrong and we think it's right. That's very, very, very dangerous. That's not a nice place to be in. But then not only must you know it's wrong and there's danger ahead and then you go jump inside. وَرْزُقْنَا اجْتِنَابَ. Oh Allah, grant us the ability to abstain, to refrain, to move away. Remember this beautiful, comprehensive deen of Islam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with is something that we can never thank Allah enough for. It's a complete, beautiful way of life. Let's appreciate the teachings of our deen. Let's move away from all this, you know, superficial world that we live in, especially in terms of so much of emphasis being put on how we look and how we dress and how we walk and how we talk. Let's move away from that and let's aim to please Allah. As long as our object is to please Allah, we're not going to go wrong. But the moment we move away from that and we're going to please everybody else but Allah, we're never going to win and we're never going to be happy. How many people are spending hours trying to beautify themselves so everybody must see me, everybody must take a picture of me, I need to show the world how I'm looking. Ask yourself, brother or sister out there, are you really happy? You take so much of pains to apply so many tons of makeup. I mean, this issue of makeup as well, when it comes to our mothers and sisters, is something which has become really a cause of concern. Why is it that we're so obsessed with how we look? One person put it very nicely when he said that we're so obsessed with our outward appearance that the creation looks at. How concerned we are with regards to our character that the Creator looks at. How much of effort do we put into beautifying that and bettering that? We're so obsessed with the way we look and what shade we are. How concerned are we with how we fare in before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a means of benefit.
Ameen. Jazakallah malana for your time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you in abundance.
Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and be one of us and may Allah accept the humble effort.
Ameen, ameen. Jazakallah to the listeners for listening. It was a very important discussion. As Maulana said, it's not just to discuss these issues, but it is more important that we need to bring these aspects into our life. And Maulana also did mention that it's very important we need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Humbly we need to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us the tawfiq that we can correct every aspect of our life. Dressing is one part of it. Obviously it is part that we should try and correct, but there are many other aspects of our life that we need to try and bring in order, bring in line with Sharia. And when we will do this, inshallah, we will find the beauty of our life. We will find the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will descend upon us and the beautiful life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us. Jazakallah for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.